Some years ago, with a church I was working for, there was an orphanage that we partnered with and sacrificially gave in order to help out that orphanage in a developing country. And so we spent quite a bit of money on that, and finally the organization said, we want to bring in a full-time person, a full-time missionary. We want her trained. We want her here 24/7. But it's going to cost a lot of money. It costs a lot of money for training. It costs a lot of money to get her out there and to support. Will you help partner with us and help us financially? And so the church prayed about it, and we said, yeah, we will. We never met this missionary. We never knew her, never had a conversation with her, but we trusted the organization. And so we gave financially, sacrificially, in order to get someone boots on the ground to take care of these children and to be there 24/7 around the clock. So as this missionary was there, things went well, and after a year and a half, we got word from the organization that she was having an ongoing affair with a local person, got pregnant, and because of her moral failure, left the ministry, left the mission field. So from our perspective, all that money we wasted, all of that money was like, not only money, time. Time better spent somewhere else. And so as a church organization, we certainly withdrew and kind of were a lot more cautious about how we spent money and how we did outreach. Why should we spend money on strangers? Why should we support missionaries who we've never met? That was the question we asked. The question John answers as he writes this short epistle. We'll read the first half this week. We'll read the next half next week. Why should we support missionaries we've never met? So many things that can go wrong. 3 John, starting in verse 1. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, I love you in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love in front of the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. So John says, and he commends this person, Gaius, who we know nothing more of outside of this text. He commends him for supporting missionaries, for supporting Christian laborers who are going from place to place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not even knowing them. He supports them with their hospitality. More than that, based on the context, he supports them financially as he sends them along their way in order to do the mission of God. Context of this letter is hard to figure out. We only have the context of what's going on here. We'll see this next week when we look at it, but essentially, there is a leader in the church wherever this Gaius is located, and he is charismatic, and he is influential, and he does not acknowledge John the Apostle's authority. Furthermore, John sends messengers to these local churches, and he will not receive these local missionaries or John's messengers. Gaius is bold and brave, and when no one else is willing to buck the strong, charismatic leader, Gaius supports these missionaries, even though he doesn't know them. He can see and talk with them that they are believers in Jesus Christ. They are doctrinally sound, and he will support them even at great risk of himself, financially and probably socially as well. And so John commends him. This is almost a letter of recommendation for when John comes to set the house right at the churches, to say, yes, Gaius is a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 6, these missionaries have testified to your love in front of the church. But he also charges them, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name, he's talking about Jesus there, and accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we can be co-workers with the truth. Yeah, why should we support missionaries who we've never met, total strangers? We should support missionaries we've never met, total strangers, so that we can be co-workers in the work of the gospel so that we can be co-laborers. It's not merely supporting their work. It's not just merely throwing money out to them. It is joining in the work that they are doing. When we support missionaries that we've met and ones that we haven't met, it isn't just merely, well, I like what you're doing, you know, let's do a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign and let's throw some money. No. It is joining in their work. What is this like? It's like, you've all seen this picture before. Go ahead and throw up this Surratt picture. It's a great Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Yacht. You've all seen it before, right? It's a great picture. It's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. The woman in the middle, what color is her skirt? Peach. Oh, see, like, okay. So the men are all like, pink, and the women, peach, right? Whatever. It's pink. I'm a guy. It's pink. Are you sure about that? Sure about that? Okay, go to the close-up. Go to the close-up. All right. Whoa, wait. That's her skirt. That's her skirt. What colors do you see now? Pink and blue and white and yellow. Yellow isn't part of pink. Yeah, this Surratt and others started in the late 18th century this style of art called pointillism. And it was based on the latest technological understanding of colors and how colors work and how the retina understands colors. And so what they would do is they would take these small little dots of paint or dashes of paint, as you can see in the close-up here, and leave that up for a second. And they would put these little dots on the canvas. And as they put the dots and they understood how colors worked and how the retina and the brain interpreted those dots, as you're standing a mere 2 feet away from the thing, your retina would mix the colors and you wouldn't even see the dots. You wouldn't see individual colors. You wouldn't see shades of blue. You'd just see a darker shade of pink or peach, as it were. And so go ahead and go back to the full screen. Ah, it's peach again. It's pink again. Right? You can't tell the difference. And actually, what Surratt and others studied and what they came up with is what your dot matrix, or not dot matrix, but your inkjet printers use, similar to what your inkjet printers do today, to make different colors and different hues. So over 100 years ago, they understood what this was. That's the image John is giving us for missions. It's not a matter of, oh, I'm supporting the work, or I'm just throwing money so that this person can do all the work. That's not what it is. When we contribute financially to missionaries, to people doing the gospel ministry, it is like us taking the brush and putting a point on the page. Some people, maybe just one stroke of the brush, maybe two, maybe 100. But all those little dots, all those little brush strokes, they come together to create a masterpiece, a beautiful piece of art. And just as the neo-pointillists came up with, all those colors, all those dots mixed together to create something far greater than the individual part of the whole. Far greater. And it's not just the missionary doing the work. It's the people financially contributing. The people contributing their time, their energy. As you know, we're Southern Baptists. We, at this point, give 5% to the cooperative program, so that money gets disseminated out to missionaries all over the place. I hope we can increase that at some point, but we get 5%. Now, some of you might also realize, no one said anything, so I don't know, maybe you guys need to complain more. Every Easter, the Southern Baptists take the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We didn't do that this year because we were somehow managed to move an entire church in about a week and renovate a church. And it was just too much. It was too much to do at the time. But I'm also a historical Christian, and so historically the church has celebrated the time between Easter and 40 days after that, the day of Pentecost, as Eastertide. That's why I still have white up there. So this is still the Easter season when we are reminded that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's Sunday, and we always meet Sundays because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. That's why churches historically meet on Sundays. And we're Christians, so every time's a good time to give. I put Annie Armstrong Easter offering envelopes in the back. If you want to give to missions that are happening in North America, like all of our church plants, we can take that anytime. We'll focus on the month of May, but they'll take them. They'll take our support any time of the year. Can you believe it? But I want you to watch this video. This is a video of a church plant, one of your church plants, that cooperative dollars have gone to contributing to make this thing happen. Plant up in Petoskey. I was talking to the church pastor just this weekend, who he's coming out of the military as a chaplain and into Petoskey. We are a much larger dot than that. I mean, we gave him our old chairs. We've essentially, you know, that constitution that this church spent like 2 years working on and laboring over. Well, they're using most of our constitution, so that they don't have to spend 800,000 hours working on this thing. Amen. Right. So, I mean, but it's more dots. It's more disciples being made in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just us exporting. Here's some materials you can have. No, it's our contribution to the kingdom of God. It's little dots going further and further to expand the kingdom. Go ahead and throw up the picture of Vietnam here. Most of you guys know, you send me to Vietnam every year. I was talking to a ministry leader outside of our church recently, and they said, well, how many people do you take to Vietnam with you? And I said, well, it's just me, because the purpose of the trip is to sit down with the pastors and leaderships of the Evangelical Church of Vietnam North and train them how to be biblical preachers, how to take what the Word of God says and to apply it to our lives effectively and accurately and creatively. And I'm like, so, like, I could take someone along, but, like, the whole process is us teaching, right? So I don't know how that would work. And they said, oh, well, you know, so your church supports what you're doing. They're not really participating in the work. And I was like, no, I know that's not true, because I'm doing that sermon this week. Look what John says in verse 8. He says, therefore, we ought to support such men, the strangers, the going around with the true gospel ministry, so that we can be co-workers with the truth. He doesn't say, so we should support them so that we can help them in their job. No, so that we can make them financially wealthy. No, he says, so we can be co-workers with the truth. Guys, this picture up here represents 250,000 baptized believers. It's probably more. First year we went, we go to a church and preach there, and there's like maybe 30 or 40 people, right? It's like, oh, okay, small church. Next year we go, standing room only, 200 people. And come to find out, they because they can't get too large in Vietnam, otherwise the communist government gets on their back. 200 people at the church, standing room only, two services, and they've already launched three church plants off of this one in a year. God's doing work. Wow, is that my job? No. Is that the work of this church? Absolutely. We're not all of the points on that picture, but there's a lot, because you're sending me. And this isn't just my work. This is your work. This is our work. You realize what is happening in the church in Vietnam. It is amazing to see what's happening. This is your work. This is why you will be exploded with more information than you'd ever care to hear when I get back, to see what God is doing through the church. It's all of our work. We all do it together. Some of you might be saying, hey, Pastor, that's all well and good, but you started off here telling a story about moral failure. You know, if we give to things like the cooperative program, if we give to missionaries, and like, you know, all those pastors that we're supporting, I don't know, you know, I don't know them all personally. I mean, there's a language barrier. That's fun to deal with. There's a language barrier there. I'm sure some of them will have moral failures. I am sure some of them will say, I am sick and tired of doing this work. It's too exhausting, and I just want to quit. I am sure that some will come up with some harebrained idea scheme, and they'll say, well, we're going to do this thing, and they're going to cause so much damage in their church and maybe in the denomination and even amongst the government. I'm sure it will happen. Someone will do it. If we support missionaries through our denomination, through the Southern Baptists, if we support missionaries within our church, someone's going to make a mistake somewhere along the lines. In fact, one of my mentors years ago had said that's why he argued for non-denominational churches. Because he said, look, you know, I got sick and tired of sending money to the denomination, and they'd send these missionaries, and I, you know, there's a lot of, not all of them, but a lot of the missionaries were of lower quality, and they weren't great, and I wouldn't have sent them. So if we're non-denominational, we keep all of our money, and then we can send our own missionaries, and we can choose who we want to support and everything. And that makes sense, because he's not wrong. He's not wrong. North American Mission Board puts out all these great videos, which I don't have to pay for, which is awesome, and of these church plants, of your church plants, and they're so amazing. In downtown Detroit, look at this. Down in Brooklyn, I was a young woman who wanted to commit suicide. I found this church, and they said, well, spend 6 months with us, and we'll work with you and disciple you. And she pulled back. It's too close. It's too intimate. You love me too much. It can't possibly be true. And yet she encountered the Lord Jesus Christ and changed her life. Right? And we look at those stories and we see those videos and we go, wow, God is awesome. He's so cool. I guarantee you, North American Mission Board, I guarantee you the Southern Baptists, they don't put out videos of complete and utter abject failures. They don't. They don't. At least half of church plants fail. So there's no video like, you know, with the sweeping music. Yeah, I started this church and had all these great ideas and I wanted to serve the Lord. And then, man, we wasted like $20,000 in like 6 months. It's incredible, right? Oh, man, I might as well have just used $50 bills as toilet paper and flushed them down the toilet. Because that's really what we did with this. I mean, no one puts out videos like that, but it happens. And so we pull back and we say, well, we're not going to support this work because they might fail. Church, we can't be afraid of failure. We can't. We can't be afraid of failure as a church here. That's why we try things that sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. That's why we have to support missionaries. Because I tell you, that people will fail. But do you believe in a sovereign God or not? Do you believe in the God of Joseph in the Old Testament, who said, what you intended for evil, God used for good? Do we believe in a God who can use our mess-ups and failures for ultimately His glory, even if we flush $100,000 down the toilet? It's His glory for His purpose. He will bring honor. And church, I'm proud of you. As your pastor, as you have continually given sacrificially. And by the way, I know I say this often, but if you didn't know, if you've given a dime to this church, there's a portion of everything that comes into this church that goes to missions. And some of that supports amazing missionaries who do amazing things. Some of it supports people who are complete and utter abject failures. And yet God still works through them too. We should give to missionaries who are total strangers, so that we can be co-workers with the truth. He says, John says to his friend, "Dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they're It's easier to it's easier to support the pastor. Oh, wow, cool. You know, we're influencing 250,000 people through this ministry. That's cool. Like it's $3,000 a year for me to go, right? And I'm leaving in about 3 weeks, by the way. I know it's coming up quick. They let me back in though. I got the visa. Amen." I'm serious. I send the thing out, which is always scary because you've got to put your passport in the mail. And then you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get this. Kent does a crazy thing. He sends, like, they do a visa on demand. So you travel for 24 hours and then you fly in and maybe the communists will say, okay, we'll give you a visa and maybe not. That's a crazy, like, it's crazy. I'm like, I'm not, no. So anyways, but they let us back in, which is good. They know why we're there. They're tourist visas. They know why we're there. They bugged the rooms we're teaching in. They know why we're there. So, I mean, that's an easy one. Yeah, $3,000, we can influence an entire denomination in Vietnam. 250,000 baptized believers growing every day. Yeah, no brainer. That's like, you know, it's pennies per soul that we're doing. Some of those other things, sometimes giving to other missionaries, and we're not sure. I'm not talking about doctrinally unsound people. We're not talking about weird believers or anything like that. We're talking about solid people that people we trust have looked through and said, yeah, they believe in Jesus Christ. They're not heretics. It's hard, but he says, dear friends, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. He says, verse 8, therefore we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. Misty, can you throw up that Surratt picture again? Tiny little dots to make a masterpiece. Tiny little dots that all come together to make the greater whole. That is the kingdom of God coming in power. When you support missionaries, You're not just supporting them. You're joining the work they do. And the work that they do is what we're about to celebrate in the Lord's Supper. It is us bringing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, reminding us that He died for our sins and rose again, so that whoever would believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. It is the most important work we can ever do, and we all participate in it. We have to, so that many sons and daughters can come into the kingdom of heaven. If you're a believer in Christ, I'd invite you to come and take the Lord's Supper with us. I'm going to pray, and I'll ask Kevin, one of our elders, to come and help me distribute the elements. But if you'd bow with me, let's pray. Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray that, Lord, You will give them encouragement for all the work that they've done, that we have financially contributed to strange brothers and sisters in Christ. But, Lord, I pray that You will help us to become an even more generous people. I pray that You'll help me to become a more generous person. That, yes, as we are trying to expand the building, yes, as we are trying to move into a new location and do all of our little projects, Lord, we will not stop to be gospel-minded. We will continue to make disciples. We will continue to reach out into the community. We will continue to support others who we will never see any tangible return from. But we know are out to share Your gospel, to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring sons and daughters into the kingdom of heaven. Lord Jesus, may we be excited to share the good news of Jesus with others and join in the work of others who are doing so. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.